Are we ready to start?
Yeah.
I didn't even think about doing that. Oh, God. Oh, tennis elbow's a bitch. You ever have tennis elbow?
I found the rubber football. In my elbow. I found the rubber football from your...
Did you rescue it?
I didn't throw it away. It was one of Owen's toy boxes. I was like,
oh, nice.
This is the same thing, the Gelson's football.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I think I brought mine home.
Oh, good.
Play with it a little later?
Yeah, maybe.
I doubt it. When the people that you know don't like you and your treasured friendships end, tune into this podcast. That's the wrong chord there. Cool.
Friends.
It's good enough. hey, welcome to the program. It's Andy Chanley. We've got Sam Farmer joining us and Josh Fligger. Glad that you guys were able to make it out today. We had a problem last weekend. There was a computer issue here at Andy Studios. And my hard drive took a shit. Just stopped working. That was, and I was working on this. We got together on what, Saturday? For the first foursome. On Sunday, the 3rd, December 3rd, I came out here and I did hours and hours of work. I did work on the podcast. I did a lot of work on, we do a picture book for the grandparents of the kids every year.
Oh, nice.
We're a couple years behind. We're still working on finishing up 2015.
Right. I think I saw Laura mention that.
Yeah. So we're working hard on getting that done. I spend literally hours. I'm having a hard time getting pictures imported from my iPhone because they're not, for whatever reason, going through the photo stream. I take her phone and I do that. I take another disc of birth pictures of Vivian and try to put those in and can't get those to import. Can't get the computer to read them. Do all of this stuff. I literally spent all day out here until the afternoon, 5 o'clock, when I just get that pinwheel. That multicolored beach ball spinning.
Pinwheel of death.
Yeah, a kernel panic on my computer. And I'm I restarted it. I zapped the pram. I downloaded the operating system again and reinstalled it. Like, did everything that you would do in a first run through to try to fix things yourself. None of it works. So the next morning, I take it into the shop to have them work on it. And they get back to me pretty quickly. These guys are pretty good. And they get back to me and say, your hard drive's going. It's done. Do you need data recovery? And I had just, I set my computer to automatically do it every Sunday morning.
Oh, smart.
So yeah. I had everything backed up like from the night before.
On a separate hard drive?
Yeah, like everything that we did, you know, podcast and all that stuff. So that was all taken care of. Yeah, I've got a stack of hard drives right there where everything's backed up, but everything I did on Sunday
gone,
flushed. Yeah. So missed out on all,
well, just
all
as long
that.
As you didn't lose the podcast.
The important stuff.
All ends well.
The important stuff. Yeah. Listen back to them. It wouldn't have been much of a loss. No, I'm just kidding. So I do all that stuff, and then I have them upgrade me to a solid state drive. So it's like flash memory. There's no moving parts in it.
Okay.
Instead of it being plates with a needle that goes across it,
right.
it's solid state. And it's actually made this. My computer's from 2009. It made it, oh my God. It's like it's on
so
steroids.
Much faster,
yeah, it's so much faster. It starts up faster. Everything just goes a little bit faster. So it's been nice to have that done. You know, it's several hundred dollars. But
that sounds like it's worth it, though. I mean,
for
all of that stress now, you don't, it's only a couple hundred bucks and you got everything still. You lost one day of work.
It was over.
That sucks.
It was over a few hundred bucks. But here's the conundrum I had. So I could get a brand new computer like this for $1,000.
Right.
That's brand new. That's like last year's model. I could get a new one with no problems. Or do I spend a few hundred dollars, a third of that or whatever, and get this old one fixed?
Well, it depends if you're employed or not.
Exactly. Well, then it gets into other things. Like, I do all this on Pro Tools. So if I would update to a new computer, it would have the new operating system on it. And I would then have to spend $600 to get the new Pro Tools to go with it.
And all the other
and everything else that goes with it. So, yeah, for now, that was the way to go. And, yes, not having gainful employment figured into the equation heavily. So I do all of that stuff. And it's as I'm like in the middle of this and I'm driving this thing to the shop that I realize what the date is that all of this happened. It was December 3rd, and I had looked through my horoscope, a couple of days earlier, a week or so earlier, and I vaguely remembered that Mercury goes retrograde on December the 3rd.
You know, I never believed in that crap at all until the one time when we were at the sound, and it was just out of nowhere, like every mechanical thing that we had just all crap the bed at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes to me, he goes, go look at your calendar. I guarantee Mercury's in retrograde right now. And he didn't even know.
I didn't even know.
And we went and looked it up, and it like had just started or something like that. And it was weird. And it seemed like every time that happened again, you would bring it up. And I slowly started to convince myself, I wonder if that really does make sense. It's weird.
I'm telling you.
It's strange.
We need to ask Laura later. My wife, if she comes out, if this is true, and she
explain
was never
explain it to me. Explain.
Okay, so yeah, the idea is this, and I never believed in this stuff. I never heard of this stuff. I wasn't raised on this stuff. You know, you'd read your horoscope in the newspaper,
right?
Back when they had newspapers, and back when that was a thing, Sam.
Yeah,
you'd read your horoscope. You know, just for novelty. Well, the idea is this. All of the planets travel across the sky, right? You can see them in the sky with a telescope or whatever. Do you ever ride along in a car and look out the window at a car next to you on the freeway, and it looks like the wheels are turning backwards?
Yeah, right. Right.
So they call that, I believe it's persistence of motion. Where your eye just, you know, the frames per second that you could perceive, that it makes it look like it's going backwards when it's
like
still going
helicopter
forward.
Blades. Like yeah. When you see helicopters, it looks right. Like they're going.
It's just slowing down relative to what the speed that it was going. So all the planets go, you know, across the sky in the same direction, but Mercury, three times a year, slows down and it looks like it's going backwards for 3 weeks. Well, horoscopers, astrologists, they say that it's during this time that Mercury F's with you. It will, anything electronic will fuck up. If you somehow get an email that was sent in 1998, that's because of Mercury and whatever.
So
if your car goes tits up, that's Mercury.
So it's strictly like mechanical things like that, not like relationship stuff.
No, it's not so much relationship stuff, but it's you make a plan, you text someone and say, "Hey, let's go out on a date," and that kind of thing. You know, it can mess with just about every facet of your life. But yeah, it's generally with stuff that has to do with communication, organization, planning, electronics, mechanical things. Yeah, mostly.
So prior to that, the electronic age. What did it mess with?
A vehicle.
With the chisel break when you're trying to chisel out the tablet. The
smoke signal when I got caught in a tree.
Hey there, I got an old 23 Skidoo on our old wireless. Yeah. but so it's that kind of idea. Well, you know, things would be lost in the mail is what would happen back then. You know, you'd get a letter that would get lost and, you know, it was in someone's, Pony Express knapsack for 6 more months, and then you find that kind of stuff. So the way I came to learn about it was, and I feel deja vu, like we just talked about this not too long ago in the podcast, but I lived in a building in Hollywood for like 12 years, mm-hmm. right behind the Dolby Theater, right behind Grauman's. And so like right at Hollywood and Highland. And one day, I go to bed, and I hear water running but it sounds like it's running in the wall behind my bed. I'm like, what is going on?
Like dripping or running through
gushing,
the pipe?
Oh, gushing. Okay. Oh, okay. Gushing. So I get up and I'm like, what is going on here? And I hear this and I go out and there's water seeming to come through my ceiling a little bit. And I go upstairs. The guy above me, a pipe breaks on his water heater, and it's gushing. And it's by the time I get up there, his floor is soaked, and it's been going for a while, and he's like, you know, putting pillows on it and shit. I'm like, call the fire department. Get someone here to shut this down. He goes, oh, I can't get a hold of Bert, the manager. I don't give a shit. Call the fire department. Have the water turned off here. This is an emergency. And so eventually, they come out and they shut the water down, but not before it's coming through my light fixtures. Oh, it's coming through everything. Gosh. My carpet is soaked. My walls are soaked. My ceiling is soaked. It is just a marsh in there. I get thrown out of my apartment for a month while they dehumidify it. Oh. They put 12 gallons of paint on my ceiling. You know, the kills stuff, don't have mold. Think of that. A gallon of water is 8 pounds. Let's figure that. And paint is even heavier than 8 pounds, right? So let's just say 8 pounds times 12. There's like 100 pounds of paint they had to put on my ceiling to cover this up.
Oh my gosh.
And so all of in the new carpet and all this kind of stuff, I have to move all of my stuff out of there into the hallway. It's just a nightmare. 2 weeks later, at the top floor, I'm on the 9th floor, the top floor, the 12th floor, catches on fire. It's such a big fire. It's on CNN. My parents in Indianapolis call and say, are you all right? That looks like your building.
Do you think it was because everything was too dry? Because they dehumidified everything?
No, it's because some dickhead had a heating lamp, a sun lamp, and it fell over on their bed. I'm like, come on. Okay. So anyway, that all happens. And then I go to, I'm going down to an audition on Wilshire, the CBS building now, right there. It's where my agent was. And I go in and I walk in and a little dog jumps up on an elderly woman and she falls over and looks like she's having a heart attack. And I go and get help for her. It just seemed like everywhere I went,
maybe
calamity.
<it's>
like things were right. You know, like I was bad luck Schleprock everywhere I went. Wowsy, wowsy, woo woo. It was crazy. And then I was talking to someone about it and she said, oh, well, this is Mercury in retrograde. I'm like, it's what and what? And she explained to me the whole thing, the idea that this, you know, snarls up just about everything. And ever since then, I've just had my eye open to it. And anytime screwed up stuff happens, I go and check my calendar, and it's in Mercury in retrograde. For example, 9 months later, my hard drive on my computer at the time and my backup fail simultaneously. Do you see that cardboard box there?
Yeah.
You see the stack of hard drives?
Right.
Yes. The bottom two in the bags right there? Uh-huh. Those are the hard drives from that backup that I still haven't spent $1,000 to get some of the pictures off of. But that took a shit at the exact same time my computer did. So it breaks me over like a shotgun every single time that it happens, it seems. And this time, December 3rd was the date that it went into Mercury in retrograde. It isn't always bad, though. It's just weird and coincidental. Like, I thought we told this story. I thought we were talking about it. I get a call 2002 from a buddy of mine. He's now the program director at KLOS. And he calls and says, a friend of mine has tickets for The Who tonight at the Greek Theater, but you got to go get them. Where are they? They're in Santa Monica. I'm in Hollywood. It's 5:00 in the afternoon. So fight traffic all the way to Santa Monica and then fight traffic all the way back from Santa Monica at rush hour
right.
to get to the Greek at rush hour and go in there and try to get there in time to see a show. I won't be there before 10:00. I called my friend upstairs and I said, so what do you think? And we were bored and he said, fuck it, let's do it. Let's try it. So We get in the car. Green lights all the way to Santa Monica. I've never gotten there that fast. It was like smooth sailing. It was like I was driving, you know, one of those self-driving cars. Everything just went like clockwork. Got the tickets underneath someone's doormat. Drove all the way back. Got green lights all the way back. We drive into the Greek right as the first song is starting, and we get in our seats, nice seats, watch this show, and at the end of the show, we walk out during the last song, and since we were the last ones in a stacked parking, we're the first ones out. I'm home in 10 minutes. Oh. It was
Now, was your upstairs neighbor that you took?
Yeah.
Did he leave the water running?
No, he's a couple more stories.
I had one time, I had a water disaster in my apartment. I lived in a triplex. This was before Owen, thank God, and Cindy was gone at work, and I don't even know. I was just in another room, and all of a sudden, I just hear this. I'm like, you know, what's that? I come walking out. We had a small bathroom. I come walking out of this spare bedroom, and I just see water pouring out of my bathroom into the hallway, down into the furnace vent. And I open up the door, and my toilet is just pouring water out of it. And I'm like, holy hell, what do I do? So I run outside, and I don't even know why I remembered this, but there's like a cap outside.
Right.
I went, and the dumbasses had cemented it in to the thing, but it was like fresh cement, so it was still crumbly. So I ran and got a screwdriver, and I like punched holes in it, and it started shooting water, sewage, raw sewage. And I'm just standing in there, and I finally propped this thing off, and there's just like toilet paper and butt nuggets just floating around my back patio.
Good Lord.
Right? Remember I talked about my hillbilly upstairs neighbors? One of them had flushed a t-shirt down the toilet.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I had to go and clean up all the patio and like disinfect a quarter of my apartment with just bleach because I just had raw sewage running through my kitchen and my hallway and my bathroom.
Sorry, I had to make a quick note there. I was butt nuggets.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. I don't know if I can bleach that out of my mind.
we moved out.
You know, the Germans have a word for, and I don't, it's
for butt nugget?
No, for green light, a string of green lights. A string of green lights.
Oh, yeah.
There's actually, you know how... often the Germans will have a word, you know, like Schadenfreude. I mean, it's a word for something you wouldn't think they'd have a word for, but it's very common. Everybody can relate to.
Like the French have a word for a certain, I don't know what.
Yes, exactly. Precisely. I remember in college, I went to Occidental, and my parents, as an investment, had bought a house off campus where my brother and I lived. And my brother was 2 years ahead of me at Occidental, my middle brother. And after my freshman year, we lived in this house. And the incentive was, hey, if you keep this up, we had a little incentive that if you keep this up, we'll sell it at the end of college and you can get the profits on the house, which is really nice, of course. We treated the thing horribly, and it was just junked up. And I remember walking down the hall one day, and it was a carpeted hallway, and I sort of tripped over a spot, a little raised spot in the floor. And I thought, that's strange. It feels like a root is growing under here. But I ignored it, and I kept going, and the root got a little bigger, and I thought, boy, that's growing quickly. That's a lot, like 2 weeks ago, this was just, you could barely feel it. Now it's really a serious.
Somebody ought to do something about that.
Yeah, somebody should do something about that, finally. And we, of course, were late on our water bill, so I made a little handwritten sign, and I said, we had a family that was living in back, because the house had a garage, external garage, and then an apartment on top, and we had a family who was living in that. So here we are, these spoiled kids living in the front house.
The big
we got
house.
A family of five living in an apartment in back. Very nice family, and they had two kids, Brian and Carmen Alicia. And so I put a note. I knew that the guy was coming to check our water meter, and we were you know, utilities guys were coming. And so to avoid that, I put a little note on the screen under our house that you had to pull off the screen to check the water meter. And I said, Brian and dear Mrs. Verdugo, please tell Brian and Carmen and Alicia, don't play near the screen because that nest of rattlesnakes is still in there. So then we got a call from the power department, power and whatever, Southern Cal Edison, and they said, hey, you're going to have to call the Humane Society or something.
Animal control
to come out and so we can check your water. And so that at least bought us a little bit of time. Regardless, when they did check it and this lump had grown, they said it's a virtual sauna underneath your house. A hot water pipe had broken.
Oh, God.
And it was steam that had warped the floor.
Oh.
And our we did notice that our hot showers were lasting about 3 seconds. 3 seconds. But we were such idiots that we allowed this thing to, ultimately had to get the floor fixed. So I think of these things when I think of my son being in college, and I think I've got to cut him some slack because I was an idiot.
And you're not going to buy him a house.
And I'm not, nor do I have the means to buy him a house, but I'm not going to buy a house. So,
getting back to off of plumbing for a moment, right, and back to the Who. That show, another thing happened. During the concert, Pete Townsend comes out and he's looking down at the pit at the Greek Theater, where all of the most expensive seats are down there in front. And he looks around and he's just kind of smiles. And he's like, I can't help but laugh looking at all the famous faces I see here from stage and screen. And I see all of the celebrities that are down there in front. He's like, I don't know any of you. Maybe Roger knows some of you. Who knows? Maybe we'll meet tomorrow on the street and become fast friends. And then it goes on to a song, right? The next day, I am in Swingers on Broadway in Santa Monica for a meeting with some friends. And who would walk in? I'm sitting there in the middle of a story and I'm talking, and I'm like, and Pete Townsend just walked in here.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, with the odds of that in Swingers in Santa Monica.
Did you talk to him?
I never. You heard my Johnny Cash story. I never go up to people and bother them.
Right,
but in this instance,
yeah.
I'm like next to a Beatle or a Rolling Stone, and what are the odds of that? And I was walking past him, and he looks up at me, and so I just said, well, if I'd known I'd run into you today, I wouldn't have to cheer and clap last night so much.
Right.
He smiles and puts his hand out to shake mine. So I'm like, shake his hand. It was a great show. And left him alone. He was with, two women who he was having lunch with. So, yeah, in that instance, I'm like, if it presents itself.
Yeah.
But the odds of that, and getting back to the original conversation, it's that stuff that happens to me every time.
And so every question, time something crappy happens, is something good right around the corner?
No, it's not a quid pro quo thing. It's not, no.
So sometimes good stuff can happen and sometimes bad stuff can happen.
Yeah, and the most important thing for me is to realize, like on Sunday, just to breathe and be a reed in the stream and bend and try not to break. I've got to let it wash over me or it will kill me. And it just makes my blood pressure go. So I've gotten to the point where I'm like, there you go. Can't do anything about it. Thousands of dollars in repairs for this or that or whatever. Okay. And it's the way shit goes for me all the time. My question for the two of you is, do you have any beliefs like this that now I know you said at the top, Josh, that you started to become a believer when you saw that these things happened at the radio station, and they tended to be during this time. And you'll watch it from here on out. You'll know. By the way, you're not supposed to buy any electronics. So if you're buying anything for a family member this month, the chance of it being defective
it's a 3 week right period.
There goes, like there goes Christmas. Sorry, Owen.
I just bought a coffee maker yesterday.
Yeah, I guess you're getting wood blocks this year. Lincoln logs.
I hope the coffee maker turns out better than your rice maker.
Pasta. Or no, pasta maker.
Pasta maker. I'm just wondering if you guys have any superstitions like this or anything like that that you believe. Because I used to not believe at all in astrology. And then I started to think about, and I know this is kind of a hackneyed and convoluted logic, but the moon has an effect on the tides, the oceans, right. As massive and powerful as they are, the gravity of the moon has an effect on them that's measurable. Mm-hmm. So when a baby's in the womb and surrounded by gallons of amniotic fluid, you know, it kind of makes some sense to me that, you know, the alignment of things might have an effect on that, and when you're born and the seasons that, you know, like if you're carried to term during the summer months when it's really stressful on the mother and those kinds of, if that might have some effect on temperament and the kind of person that you end up being. But I was just curious if you guys had anything like that that you believe in, or if I'm the only kook.
I would say that I am not a superstitious person, and yet I adhere to some mores, superstitious rules. I'll knock on wood. I will don't put a hat on the bed. I don't like when
I've never heard of that.
A baseball hat on or any kind of hat on the bed.
Really?
Put it on.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Never heard of that.
Yeah, I don't,
what happens?
It's bad luck. It's really. It's like
I've never.
It's
heard
like
that.
Walking under a ladder or
black cat walking in front of you.
Yeah. Hat on the bed is like a. So I'm very careful about that. I always take the hat off.
Is it maybe because like your mom told you just didn't want your hat on the bed?
It was probably started by.
No, you know what? I don't. And I'm going to look this up. I'm going to look this up as to what the origin of that is. But
you're not supposed to open an umbrella indoors.
Yeah, umbrella indoors.
My wife says dirty dishes in the sink is bad luck.
Well, that might explain the last 10 years. But I sort of adhere to a general rule about putting good stuff out in the universe and trying to at least, I was at the movies the other day. It was Paige's birthday, and so I took the afternoon off. We went and saw a matinee movie, and you know what? The movie we wanted to see, Wonder, we were the only two people in the theater, and the projector broke. Her birthday is December 5th.
That was the 5th?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Mercury.
Which retrograde. They could not get that working.
It's 2 days into it.
We went and saw another movie that I really liked, and I can't remember it now, the name of it. About a teenage girl. Anyway, I was going to say I lost my sunglasses there. I went back later. I went back later to the theater a few hours later, and somebody had turned them in, and I thought, you know what? That's a sort of restores my faith in humanity, and because they were fairly nice sunglasses, and it's a reminder to put good things out in the universe, because that thing will, you know, more you're more likely, I believe, to have good things come back to you.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I buy into that.
A good
and even
policy.
Just creating good.
Yeah, even if it's not true, it still is a good thing. I totally buy into that.
Yeah.
We were just talking before we started the podcast. I was waiting for an important phone call on that was Tuesday, and my phone, but my phone didn't ring. There was a couple of days where my phone wasn't ringing. People were texting me, and it wasn't making any sound.
Oh,
I'm like, it's all
and
done.
Now that I think about it, like in the last 10 days and it just stopped, is my phone would just turn off and just be dead, and it would I would turn it back on and it would be like at 50%. It would just shut down, and you know, you're not always looking at your phone, so I'd put my phone in my pocket and then pull it out like a half an hour later, and I'd try to, you know, press the home button to turn it on, and it would be off. And that happened like four or five times in the past 10 days.
Sam just handed me this on his phone. To lay or throw a hat on the bed. This is from Stack Exchange. To lay or throw a hat on the bed will cause you bad luck. It is unfortunate to lay a hat on the bed unless you place the crown down against the counterpane, Laying a hat on the bed will bring bad luck to the person who sleeps in the bed.
Oh, so through it through your enemies.
What's a counterpane?
I don't know. Is that the
and what happens if you're wearing
or
it?
That?
Okay, here, hold on. There's another one. From Why Stuff Works. Why is it considered unlucky to leave a hat on the bed? It might not conjure up evil spirits. It may transfer head lice. that's where that came from.
Do you ever read what is the Cecil books? The columnist, Chicago, who tells you about how things work scientifically. I'm sorry. I digress.
I love those kinds of things. When I was a kid, I loved that show Hot Dog. It was a Saturday or an afternoon special thing where they would show how, you know, candy is made or...
Oh, yeah. You know, I still watch that stuff. Yeah. They have, like, how it's made.
They have that show How It's Made on AMC or whatever it is. Right. Food Network,
yeah,
whatever it is.
Something like that.
And then there's a podcast we were talking about that I like, How Stuff Works.
Yeah.
And it just talks about everything, like, you know, how a mortgage works, how black magic works, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I love...
There's another good one out there called Stuff You Should Know, I think.
That's it. Stuff You Should Know. That's what it is.
And they'll just pick random topics, like, one week it was, like, Satanism, and then the next week it was, like, paperclips.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
And it's not... They're not saying, we support this stuff. It's just saying, this is how it works.
Right.
You know?
And they usually talk about, you know, the folklore that's associated with it, why, you know, certain people believe didn't think... You know, but they'll tackle anything.
Yeah,
you know?
There was one that was hip-hop, and then one that was like maple syrup.
Yeah, quantum mechanics.
This is a columnist, Cecil Adams. I believe he was Chicago-based.
I've heard the name.
And it's called The Straight Dope, these books. And he gets into everything, you know. The cats have navels and, you know.
Do they?
I don't know.
Gotta read the book.
What are the lyrics to Louie Louie? What are the real lyrics to Louie Louie?
You know, the original version of Louie Louie is completely intelligible. You can, like the Jamaican artist that did it, you can hear it completely word for word. And there's nothing in it. There's nothing in it. It was an Indiana governor, I think, that wanted to get it banned because it was raucous and nasty. If you can understand what he's saying, I'll kiss your ass. But so nothing particular for you. Nothing that you adhere to.
Not me. I don't. I know my wife's mother is like insane on a couple things. Like you can't. She's from, she was actually from North Korea, and if you say the word monkey, she like fake spits on the floor like three times. So if you say monkey, she goes like
what?
And it's like a counter to the word monkey.
Wait, what's her? Where's she from?
She's originally from North Korea and then escaped to the South and then married Cindy's dad who was in the army over there. Something like that.
That's astonishing.
It's
her, Pavlovian response. Pavlov's monkey.
And you can't. Another thing you can't do is if she's in the bathroom. If she's in the bathroom looking in the mirror, you can't look into the mirror at her.
What?
Because like the mirror will take your soul.
Like
you can't make eye contact through the mirror. You know what I mean?
With Cindy?
No, not Cindy.
Oh,
Cindy's mother.
Cindy's mother.
Yeah. So and we don't get along. So I've always just been like monkey.
You carry a mirror around. And...
But yeah,
say monkey through the mirror.
She's told me like just stuff like that. I'm not. I don't really have. I like the Mercury retrograde. Like if I see it, I'll believe it. You know, if I start put things together, then I'm like, okay, that makes sense. And I agree with you. Like karma, it'll come back and get you. So you know, obviously. Put good stuff out and, you know, then you can not, you know, you won't feel so terrible when something bad. I always figure when something bad happens, I always wonder, I'm like, what the hell? I'm like,
I know
it's from that day I said that terrible word. I shouldn't have said that or something like that. You know what I mean?
It's like that, you know, Deep Thoughts by Jack Handy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he said, when my son asked me why it's raining, I said, that's God crying. And then I tell him it's probably something he did.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, mythology and well, religion really in general was, I think, concocted to comfort people who didn't know where the sun went at night, to help people make sense of, you know,
and,
when,
and
there's
to
a, when there's a thunder,
law, I think.
Sure. Yeah. Yes. Put a little fear in people. And, you know, when there's a thunderstorm and people would cower and wonder what was going on. Oh, well, that's just Zeus throwing a thunderbolt across the Mount Olympus. And now we understand what causes a thunderstorm and those kinds of things. So it's interesting to me, though, that some of these things persist. And I, you know, things like Jonah being in the belly of a whale, I find to be a fantastical parable, something that's impossible to happen, but that you was used as a teaching mechanism. Mm-hmm. Yet, I'll sometimes read my horoscope and think, well, now that's interesting. That, you know, I'm going to have to look out for that. Put more credence in that. Do you follow your horoscope? Do you think that you... Well, first of all, what sign are you?
I'm Taurus.
You're Taurus. Yeah. When's your birthday?
May 10th.
Didn't these just change?
Yeah, no, that's bullshit.
Okay. I'm Aries.
You're Aries. Yeah. So you're in April?
April, yes.
April
April 9th.
Really?
That's the day the Civil War ended.
Really?
Yeah.
Appomattox Courthouse. Yeah. Wasn't there a little quirk about Appomattox Courthouse, though?
Yeah, I think I already said that.
What was it?
The guy that was, he had a farmhouse at the first battle of Bull Run, which was the first battle of the Civil War, and it got all just taken apart by, you know, the battle. So he decided to move, and he moved to this little town called Appomattox Courthouse, and they signed the end of the Civil War in his living room.
How weird is that?
That's crazy.
That's really crazy. Yep. And I blame him for the whole thing.
they're all signing it, glaring at him.
Thanks, asshole. Didn't need to happen. And the city was named Appomattox Courthouse? I thought there was a courthouse in Appomattox.
I think that's probably it. I mean, I think it was probably one of those towns, you know, quotations that had 15 people in it. You know what I mean?
Oh, right.
Maybe that was, they have to have a judicial center of the area, so this is Appomattox Courthouse.
My math teacher in high school, Bill Mellencamp.
Really?
Cousin of, oh, yeah. Charles Mellencamp was my guidance counselor. Betty Mellencamp was my English teacher. Bill Mellencamp was my computer math teacher. Yeah, we were just filthy with Mellencamps there.
Yeah,
couldn't swing a.
They
dead,
all have
dead
like animal middle names too.
No,
did you know him?
Betty Cougar Mell. Yeah,
Betty Lion Cat Cougar.
I'm sure you've come across John Cougar Mellencamp.
I never have.
Career.
Never. I've
really?
Never met him. Yeah. No, I never met him. But what was I? Oh, Bill Mellencamp used to call those places stick plum towns. You stick your head out of the window and you're plumb out of town. We're a bunch of hillbillies back in Indiana. All right, well, fine. I guess I'm the only kook.
Good stuff.
Settled that. You know what? Go on our Facebook page, which I never check. your artificial friends, if you have one of those quirky things, maybe we'll revive this down. And maybe when we get Larry in here again, because he's, you know, he's just nuts. I bet he has some bread and butter things that he does to share with us. But I want to also throw out do you guys see the podcast on iTunes?
Yeah.
Has the logo changed?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't believe so.
God.
I don't listen.
I don't know how to change it. There's a new logo.
We got to get out of this 3 weeks later.
Here we go again. Boom. Now we don't know how to do the logo.
Well, unlike I'm going to get it done Andy's during Mercury podcast. And retrograde.
Yeah, right.
Son of a bitch. Anyway, thank you for everybody that subscribes. And if you can share this with other people, we certainly appreciate that. And I hope you're liking the almanacs that I'm trying to do every day that my computer isn't down. Those have been a labor of love, but a lot of fun to do. So thank you for all of that. And gosh, join us next time on
You know, if you want to reach Sam,
thanks. Sorry.
LA Times Farmer is my Twitter handle.
And if you want to shoot me any of your weird, quirky things that make you nervous and stuff like that, you can shoot me at joshuajfligger@gmail.com.
And I'm Andy_Chanley on Twitter. Thanks, Josh.
No problem.
Thanks for
looking out for you.
Me. All right. Yeah. We're your artificial friends.